This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
So here's something really stupid, because you would think that Billy Epler has all the money in the world, right? He's using Steve Cohen's money. He doesn't care about tax. He doesn't care about anything. It doesn't make a difference what level they're on. The Steve Cohen line, they're going past that. Is there still a possibility Billy Epler's playing under those rules of playing, like, you know, the I could still get him under that minor league contract. I could still keep him under like that time. We can call him up after his get the full year.
No.
There's none of that. I mean, maybe that's what they're waiting for.
No, I don't buy that. Well, I just don't. Now there are ways that Major League Baseball changed those rules to kind of reward teams allowing them to be up at the major league level. Like, one of which is if you finish in the top two or three of rookie of the year voting, you get that year of service time no matter what. So even if you wait until May 1st, if that kid has a huge rookie season like Brett Beatty, it's not going to matter. Plus, they tried to put different things in to kind of promote that. That's not a Met thing. I would rule it out completely. I think it's two things. I think it's justification, which I just addressed. And the other thing is, and we hear this a lot, and I remember talking about this a lot with the Yankee bullpen last year when Marinaccio was in the minor leagues. When a guy has options, you can put them at AAA and not lose them. If you decide to move on from Darren Ruff, you moved on from Darren Ruff. And as easily as I want to move on from him and you want to move on from him, they can keep him and also keep Vientos and Beatty. They go to AAA. They're not losing anybody. So I remember last year, late in the year, there was a point where the Yankee bullpen didn't make sense. And Marinaccio had pitched well, and he was in AAA. And it was one of those games where if we had sent down this other guy, he didn't have any options, we'd lose him. So let's keep as many guys as we can. It has nothing to do with money. I really don't think it does. And I think Cohen has earned enough of a he doesn't care about money reputation that they're not keeping Darren Ruff on this roster based on money. They're keeping Darren Ruff on this roster because Billy Epler probably wants to justify the dumbass trade that he made. Now, can I give you my three avenues? Because it is not over yet. As much as you want to, you know, do your little touchdown dance and say, yes, I'm depressed, but I was right.
Yeah, but first of all, let me just say something. This is not like, I nailed this. I'm so happy. I'm like, I'm probably more pissed than you are that I'm right. I don't want to be right.
No, I know. I know that.
So, please, I'm curious to see how we can get through this, how we can make this happen. That Darren Ruff still doesn't make the roster opening day.
Yes. And I believe you, because I'm the same way. I don't want to be right about bad things. I was optimistic about Ruff not being on the team, and I've already gotten the tweets. Oh, this is your fault, you schmuck. You know? Yeah. It's all my fault. Well, okay. So we've got 4.5 days, depending on when you're listening, until opening day. We have a lot of time. Number one, the Mets trade him. And you may say nobody would want him. Look, they traded James McCann. If you pick up the man's contract, and there's a team out there that could use a right-handed hitting DH, and they're giving nothing up, and the Mets are paying for 85% of his salary, there could be a taker. And if you do that, then there are various options on who takes that roster spot. We've talked about Vientos and Beatty, but the other guy, and I remember mentioning this right from the top. In fact, this was my official roster prediction when we made that over a month ago. It wasn't Vientos as much as it made sense. It wasn't Beatty. The guy I predicted who would make the roster over Ruff was Tim LaCastro. Am I confident about that right now? I can't say that I am. LaCastro's had a great camp, no doubt about it. He gives him more versatility in the outfield because even though Darren Ruff could play the outfield, LaCastro plays it a lot better. He's got the great speed we had talked about throughout spring training, which can be a bigger weapon this season.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It puts the Mets in a weird spot. If LaCastro made it, let's say they get rid of Ruff, and it was LaCastro who makes the team. And I think we'd be pretty happy about that. I know I would. I think most Mets fans would say, all right, it's a victory. It does lead to the question of, well, who's the right-handed DH? Is it Tommy Pham, who's had a horrible spring training? Is it Eduardo Escobar? And then you spruce up your defense with Luis Guillerme playing third base against lefties? Probably not. Is it Tim LaCastro himself? Or is it we use our DH day, the day we give Lindor off, the day we give Marte off? We use that day when there's a lefty on the mound. I'm not sure you do that, especially when you look at the beginning of this season. They're facing a lefty game two and game three of the season. I'm not sure they're using their DH days right out the gate. So one of the guys who was a clear possibility to make this team, Tim LaCastro, is still hanging on, and he could make it, though I'm not confident about it. So number one is they trade Darren Ruff. Number two is they IL Darren Ruff, which has always been a possibility. He had a wrist issue, has a wrist issue. He hasn't hit much in camp. I know he's had a few extra base hits over the last week or so, so he's perked that batting average up to like 180 or whatever it is. But you can always use the wrist injury excuse. That is always there as a possibility. So you've got the, what, you don't buy that, Pete?
Yeah, how could you say that if he's batting 650, behind the scenes?
Oh, jeez, don't get me started on that. I was pissed when I first read it. I know he was joking, and I want to acknowledge that. I know Buck was joking, but sometimes it's not funny. You know, you can't get away with everything you say that's stupid by going with the, well, it was a joke. I was joking around. Yeah, I wasn't being serious. Dude, Darren Ruff sucks, Buck. And I remember I said that to him when we had him on late last year. It was kind of awkward. And he's like, you want me to go up to Darren and tell him that? I'm like, yeah. I'm not, fine, tell him he stinks. I'll tell him he stinks. What do you want me to tell you? He's not hitting. And then 3 hours later, he was placed on the injured list. But I'm not denying, by the way, that Darren Ruff's awfulness with the New York Mets, I'm not denying that it could be related to an injury. Fine. Maybe it is. Then put him on the IL. I don't want to see him. No, that's fine. I'm not telling you he's not hurt. How the hell would we know? We're not in the locker room. The point is, what we do know, Buck, is that he's been really, 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 really bad. And for you to tell us that he's hitting line drives on the backfields is not going to make anybody happy. It's not funny. It's not cute. Maybe Sal will wish a happy Buckmas, but I'm looking at this comment saying, dude, just shut up. It's tone deaf. I don't want to hear that. Now, this isn't me turning on Buck. This is me calling him out for a dumb comment. That's all it is. I still love Buck, but geez, oh, he's hitting 850 on the backfields. So option number two is you put him on the injured list. And then option number three is your DFA. Option number three is you just move on, because those other two options, a trade, I don't want to say it saves face because it really doesn't. It was a bad trade. You know, and if Billy Epler gives him away and gets nothing back, a player to be named later, you can't rationalize, well, we salvaged this. Yeah, you traded J.D. Davis and three other minor leaguers, even if they aren't highly regarded, for a player to be named later. But I don't care about justifying the trade. It was a bad trade. And by the way, that happens. I mean, you can make bad trades. They're allowed. I'm not firing you because of a bad trade. What I'm asking you to do is when you make a bad trade, don't double down on it. Move on from it. Like, I'll give Brian Cashman credit. He made a big trade at the deadline last year for Frankie Montas, and it was terrible, right? It was awful. You could even say it was Darren Ruffian in terms of Montas was bad, and then he got hurt. I guess in a way, you almost prefer the guy to just get hurt because then he can't hurt you on the field. But whatever. Montas was terrible, right? He was supposed to be the Yankees' number two starter. That's how it was viewed when they made that trade. So he's awful. Offseason comes around, and what do the Yankees do? They sign a real number two starter. So wasn't that, in a way, the general manager saying, hey, I screwed up with the Montas trade. Let me go get somebody better. And he does, and Carlos Rodon. Now, I know he's hurt. That's not the point of this. My point is, I think, this is the way I interpret it, Cashman admitted it was a bad trade. Let me go fix it. Billy Epler hasn't done that. It was a bad trade. It was a awful trade. And instead, they didn't add a right-handed DH, as we know. And you're going to have him make the team when you had internal options on your roster that are better? How the hell can you do that?